The following is a pre-recorded program.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, it's Steve Noble. Good to be back from Nashville and the Faith and Freedom Coalition convention there. That was awesome. And unfortunately, not live today here in the studio because, well, yesterday was Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all you great dads out there. Hope that was a blessing for you. It certainly was for me. But our youngest has an event today that I need to be at. So I am going to play for you two great interviews I did. You'll hear more of those over the week and the next couple of weeks. But first with Father Frank Pavone. He's the National Director of Priests for Life. I've known Father Frank for, since about 2005. An incredible preacher in his own right, but just an incredible activist out there on the front lines of the fight for life. We're going to talk about the Roe versus Wade decision. And then I met Mrs. Catalina Stube. She's the Director of Outreach for Moms for Liberty. Just a bunch of regular people organizing, getting involved with their local school boards. They're out of Tampa, Florida. MomsForLiberty.org. MomsForLiberty.org. But let's start with Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life.
Well, the obvious question on the table, and I was wondering about you when the news leaked about Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
Because you and I met a while ago, 2005 or 6, at Council for National Policy.
Right.
But you've been engaged in the pro-life movement actively for how long? Like, when did Priests for Life start?
Priests for Life started in 1991. I became director in 93, and that's when I began my full-time national leadership in the pro-life movement. But I had been involved in the movement, actually, since 1976.
Wow.
I went to the third annual March for Life and been focused on this movement ever since.
Yeah, so a long time.
Yes.
So when that word breaks that day and you hear that there's the potential that Roe versus Wade will actually get turned over, how did you react to that?
Well, I was just exultant. I read that decision came out at night, you know, on May the 2nd, and I stayed up and just read through the whole thing, and I said, my goodness, this gives us everything we asked for from the court, which is not to impose an abortion policy, but rather let the people decide through their lawmakers, you know. But it did away with this concept that abortion is somehow a constitutional right or has some special status that makes it more difficult for the states to prohibit it. That's nowhere in the Constitution. It's nowhere in our history. And this is exactly what the decision does.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, and people may not realize this, even if they follow the court has ruled dozens of times on abortion since Roe v. Wade. But surprisingly, in none of those cases, not even Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which upheld Roe, in none of those cases did they address the question head on, does the Constitution provide the right to have an abortion? They deal with a lot of other important questions, but ancillary to that main point, namely funding of abortion, parental involvement, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the first time they are head-on correcting the mistake of Roe v. Wade. I was delighted. I was not surprised that this unprecedented leak of an entire draft opinion would happen with the issue of abortion rather than any other issue. Because, you know, when it comes to abortion, all the rules change, right?
That's right.
It's the abortion distortion. So I was, I mean, I had just gotten off a national prayer call in regard to the Dobbs case. The moment I got off the call, I started getting texts that Politico had this leak.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you think the day would come? I mean, I've talked about this on the air, that I was hopeful. But sometimes my hopefulness was out of obligation as a follower of Christ.
Okay, yes.
But my flesh side was always like, I just don't see the nation through the Supreme Court getting to the point that it would be willing to overturn such a sacred cow.
Right. You know, there were many points in the movement when people would say, how in the world are we going to get there? What is the path? At certain times in the movement, the path was clearer than at other times.
Sure.
I've been preaching for the last 30 years that we are winning. And there were many occasions in which I would say, for example, at the close of pro-life banquets, I would say, listen, mark my words, we're going to be having celebrations like this, celebrating the victory over Roe v. Wade. And people would, like you said, out of Christian hope, they would applaud. They would. It would be in agreement.
Of course.
But now, you know, what has happened? It has come about through the process that our founders laid out for us to make change.
Right.
It has come about through elections. It has come about through appointment of the right kinds of judges. It has come about in large measure through President Donald Trump, the most pro-life president we've ever had. It's come about through the perseverance of people in this movement lobbying, educating, marching, and praying and sacrificing. Wow. It's just a wow moment.
Yeah,
you know,
it's been a bell that's been faithfully rung since 1973.
It has. It has.
And which proves the perseverance of the saints. A sermon I heard recently talked about sometimes the arc of God's goodness is a whole lot longer than we want it to be.
Well, you know, Steve, one of the things I've pointed out over the years, too, is in terms of the length of that arc, you think of how the Supreme Court dealt with segregation. So Plessy versus Ferguson, that was 1896. It wasn't overturned until 1954, Brown versus Board of Education.
Almost 100
that
years.
That was, and I said to people, we are well within the historical time frame with Roe v. Wade of the court changing this, no matter how deeply embedded it, and I'll use the word appears to be, because it's not really as deeply embedded in American life as the other side would like us to think. I mean, why hasn't abortion been mainstreamed into the hospital system?
Right.
Why instead do we have these hundreds of freestanding clinics, which, by the way, since the early 1990s, the number of abortion facilities has been cut. Two-thirds of them have closed since then. So it's a business in decline. But again, why is it in decline? Why has the price of an abortion not gone up over all these decades?
Right.
And why isn't it integrated into the American hospital system or the medical profession? Because it has never fit into the American mindset and the American spirit. The killing of children just doesn't fit into that.
Yeah, that's such a great point and so beautifully said. And that's a hopeful thing. You know, you've been in this for a while. I've been in it for a while. And it's easy to lose heart, to see the nation. It's easy to think prophetically and jump into the last book of the Bible and go, well, we know the overall trajectory is down, yada yada.
Right.
And I don't know how much that is an issue in Catholicism, but it certainly can be in evangelicalism, which gets you off the hook.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing's gonna go down anyway. So why bother playing?
Why bother?
But human souls are always involved.
That's right. So the battle is real. Yeah, we may know the end of the battle, but the battle is real today. The lives are at stake and souls are at stake.
Welcome back. This is Steve Noble again. Pre-recorded today's show with some interviews I did in Nashville over the weekend and some ins and outs here in the studio. Going to be with my daughter this afternoon, so can't be here in the studio. But continuing my conversation with Father Frank Pavone, National Director for the Priests for Life, talking about Roe versus Wade and our role, God willing, should that fall here in the next few days. So is the church ready for what comes next? I live in North Carolina. We have to get a veto-proof majority in our legislature because Governor Cooper's uber liberal, wouldn't even sign the infant born alive bill.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So we have to do that this November. But let's say North Carolina becomes a no abortion state. Is the church ready for what comes next? Because all of a sudden we have to be the replacement for the abortion.
For the abortions. Yes. I believe the pro-life movement is ready, you know, because we have been providing the alternatives to abortion all along.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you look at the briefs that were submitted to the court in this current Dobbs case, one of the big arguments for reversing Roe v. Wade is that the so-called necessity, it's not a necessity in the first place, but the so-called reliance of women on abortion is not a case that can be made today like it was made at the time of Roe v. Wade or Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 92, because the numbers of the abortion facilities have not only declined, as we said before, but the numbers of the pregnancy resource centers now have exploded, and they outnumber the abortion facilities by almost 4-1. And so the alternatives that are there, the pro-life movement has been growing this mode of service being available to these moms and dads and families. And that will just continue. I mean, we know how to do it. We've been doing it. And that's only going to continue to grow. So in that respect, we're ready because we were going to be expanding those services anyway.
Yeah.
As far as the churches, there's a certain readiness because a lot of the churches work hand in hand with the pregnancy center movement. But there's a lot of people in the church and a lot of clergy in the church that really need to wake up. And as you know, and that's one of the key things we focused on in Priests for Life. And one of the key reasons a lot of people support us is that they want to see their clergy out front on issues like this. But too many of them are cowards. Too many of them are silent. Hopefully this moment now, when they see some real progress, they see some victory, will encourage many of them to think, all right, maybe it's not so out of line for me to speak up about this. I hope that'll happen. We're certainly trying to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Have you been? I don't think anything really shocks me anymore, but it has been deeply disappointing that the Biden administration isn't even willing to enforce the federal law that's supposed to protect federal judges.
Yes,
that's very scary.
That is scary. Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, by not doing that, the Supreme Court, in effect, becomes just like another member of the political community that
right.
can be pressured in any number of ways.
Right, exactly. No, this administration is so in bed with the abortion industry that this is a direct effect of their allegiance to abortion. I think if it were on another case, if it were on another issue, that people were protesting the homes of these justices, I think they would say something.
No, imagine if something like this happened outside of Elena Kagan's
house. Yeah, Kagan's house. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they'd go ballistic.
It's completely ideological. It's completely partisan. And this is what people have to wake up to, that the whole Democrat Party has been hijacked by the abortion industry. It doesn't need to be that way, but in fact it is. And I think that the more that these things come out, the more this battle has intensified, the more it's become clear.
Yeah.
Yep. What the point we're making right now. And I think, in a sense, that can be the path to people waking up and saying, all right, it's time to call these people out on this. And if they're not going to change, get them out of office.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Have you seen, in terms of office politics in general, what have you seen inside the Catholic Church here in America in terms of political involvement? I mean, if you go back to I think it was the 2016 election, I think close to 60% of Catholics that voted for Hillary Clinton. Now the mainstream Protestant denominations have the same issue. United Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, USA, a lot of very liberal-minded political people in there. It's been an interesting battle to try to bring people the marriage of a clear biblical worldview and a political position. And most of that's going to land you in one party over the other. And it's pretty clear. I think you have to literally kind of close your eyes and be like a little kid, stick your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 la. But what have you seen in the Catholic Church?
We have a clear distinction between the Catholics that go to church each week and pay some attention to what the church is saying. They tend to vote more Republican than those who are not churchgoers. Back in the George W. Bush days, when we as an organization started getting involved more on the national scene with politics, we were able to swing the Catholic vote, even though by a small margin, towards the Republicans. With President Trump, still it was pretty much down the middle in a lot of ways. But again, it's the problem with the leadership. Because there is, I wrote a book about this back in 2015, how of course, President Trump took aim at the Johnson Amendment, which I was so delighted to hear him say that, and still, he talked about it even yesterday here at the conference.
Which a lot of clergy have used to run and hide.
Yeah.
I gotta submit to the governing authorities. The governing authority says that church, because it's a 501c3, can't have anything to do about politics or politicians.
Exactly.
So that gave them cover.
That's
to avoid
right.
basically annoying some percentage of their congregation.
That's right. And what happens in the Catholic community, because we are so hierarchically structured, is that the bishops in these dioceses will often present that cover to the priests on a silver platter. They'll send them these memos, you know, and they're worded in such a ridiculous way. Because, first of all, as we know, the Johnson Amendment itself is vague.
Yeah.
And some, including myself, would argue unconstitutionally so. But then the church authorities, who are not experts in tax law and shouldn't try to be, put these memos out saying, oh, now don't say anything that would endanger the church's tax-exempt status. Don't say anything political. Well, what does that mean? How's a pastor supposed to interpret that? Here you have one party, the Republican Party, saying the unborn child must be protected. The right to life cannot be infringed. Here you have the Democrat Party saying abortion is a right. It should not be restricted. And here we have the Catholic Church saying the baby must be protected. Now, if I enunciate the teaching of the church, how am I supposed to avoid, as some of these memos tell me to do, well, avoid even the appearance
right.
of trying to either praise or discredit a political party?
Because that
that's ridiculous.
Father, appears to be an endorsement of the Republican
yeah,
Party.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, as I point out to my brother clergy, I say, look, if tomorrow the Republican and Democrat parties swapped their platforms, traded their positions on abortion or any other issue, would our message change? Mm. And the answer is no. Our message would change. Our platform is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, but we have to be able to interpret the signs of the times and the political realities in the light of that gospel yep. of Jesus Christ, and not be afraid if we appear to be aligning with one or another party. So when it comes to how Catholics vote, as you're asking, the dynamics of the election, these leaders have got to get out of that mindset of trying to have a neutrality, which in our current situation on these fundamental issues, such neutrality is simply not possible.
Back. This is Steve Noble. Great to be back in Raleigh. Not here in the studio today, though. I had an event with our youngest daughter, but playing for you my interview with Father Frank Pavone, the National Director for Priests for Life. I've known Father Frank since 2005, and then we're going to turn the corner here in just a couple minutes and talk to Mrs. Catalina Stube. She's the Director of Outreach for Moms for Liberty, an incredible organization started out of Tampa, Florida, that all of us need to know about, whether we have kids or grandkids in the public school system or not. As Christians, we should all be engaged. So let's finish up with Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life, and then we'll turn the corner and talk to Mrs. Catalina Stube, the Director of Outreach for Moms for Liberty.
Yeah, Jesus did not have a neutrality. He was subtle and nuanced
yes.
because he's the creator of the universe.
Yes.
But he did not have a neutrality.
No, that's right. He was very clear and firm. And I mean, we're not talking about the church becoming a political party. You know, there's a legitimate autonomy between the church doesn't deliver the mail. The church doesn't have a standing
right.
army. The state doesn't decide who my pastor will be or what readings from the scripture we'll read on Sunday. But, you know, there's a legitimate autonomy, but when it comes to these moral issues, if the church is not addressing, and in fact, addressing head-on, Democrat policies that attack biblical principles, you know, when the church stands up to that, it's not the church being political, that's the church being the church.
Yeah, that's right. Last question. What's your favorite thing to do in your role?
My favorite thing to do in my role is what I'm going to do today here at the conference is to deliver a powerful message to an eager group of patriots, of Christians who are ready to take it and run with it. I never get tired of doing this. I get as much inspiration from the people of God
yeah.
in this movement as hopefully I give to them. And that's why I'm as happy and energetic and eager for this work today as I was on the very first day
yeah.
decades ago. And, you know, my gratitude to the folks that are here and people like you that are getting the word out. We're on the winning team.
Yeah, that's right. The first time I came home from CNP and I heard you preach, I remember telling people, I heard this Catholic guy, Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life, and he preaches better than most Southern Baptist preachers, because God's really anointed you to preach.
Thank you.
And it's always a delight, and I can't thank you enough for that and being such a good steward of that gift. It's just awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great seeing you today.
Good to see you.
Okay, now we're going to switch gears real quick and talk to Mrs. Catalina Stube, Director of Outreach, Moms for Liberty. By the way, this is going to sound a little noisy because there was a huge fountain there in the Gaylord Convention Center, like right near Radio Row. So it really picked up a lot of that noise. I apologize for that. But the content's great. So here we go with Mrs. Catalina Stube, Moms for Liberty.
Well, tell us about Moms for Liberty, and then I want to find out how you got involved and what all you guys are doing and how we can help.
Sure. So Moms for Liberty is a nonprofit organization across the country that educate, empower, and unify parents in order that protect their parental rights. We don't want indoctrination. We want to stop woke indoctrination in our schools, in our kids, in our educational system. We don't want gender ideologies, CRT, and everything that is destroying our American family.
Yeah, and so when did Moms for Liberty start? Because it's obviously one of the biggest topics being discussed today in the media, in our private lives, in homeschool, in Christian environments, in the church, wherever. It's all over the place. I've been an activist since 2004, and like in 2005 in Raleigh, North Carolina, we had a mom approach us because of some of the reading materials that were being found in her child's like fourth grade curriculum.
Explicit. Pornographic.
And so when I went on a local radio station, before I got on the radio, I couldn't even read excerpts from the book because it would have been an FCC violation. So it's not like this is new. But because of Loudoun County, Virginia, and everything that's been going on in the last 2 years, this is all over the place now.
I don't want anyone can read these books because they are discussing these places. They don't have even a purpose.
That's right.
But check it out. Check it out, and you're going to see how your jaw is going to drop.
Totally shocking.
It's going to be very difficult to understand that this is available for kids 10 and more. This is for middle school children, and how satanic it's to put that and to infiltrate that in the libraries of our schools
and
our
right
public
word.
Libraries.
And it is satanic. It's satanic to the core. When did Moms for Liberty start? Like, how did it start?
So it's a young organization that starts with two moms that have been behind the curtains of education. They were in the school boards. They both were in the school boards, and they know what is going on because this is going on from more than a decade ago.
Oh yeah.
And they try to ban them. They try to not get them reelected. So let's get unified. Let's get united and create Moms for Liberty that offer tools for the parents, legal tools that they can promote their freedom, promote transparency in education, and to know how to defend your kids. You need a guide, and we are telling you how to do it, to identify what is going on with your children. But because I think it's happening in every single home in United States.
Oh, yeah. No question.
It's already happening. And it's difficult to have this conversation with your children, especially the teenager, because they are being indoctrinated for more than a decade in this ideology.
Right, right.
So for them, it's normal. Mom, that's normal to be a transgender.
Right.
Hello, that's, oh my gosh, you are so antiquated, and you don't understand that they are now being respected. And this is inclusiveness and diversity. Honey, no, for 3,000 years,
right,
we have been celebrating family at the base of institution, and it's only two words, man and woman.
Right, that's it.
That's it.
And I don't need to be a biologist. Are you a biologist?
I am not a
Catalina's
scientist.
Catalina's not a biologist.
I am not a biologist.
I'm not a biologist, but we both know. And so what are some of the tools? Because now we've got more and more people that are aware. Talk about being woke. You got a whole lot of parents being awakened now to the reality of what's in their school system. This is, by the way, something that's been worked on by the progressives for 100 years now. But now they're like, okay, now I see there's a problem. I know I should probably go to a school board meeting, but there's a lot more to it. And they just usually don't know what to do. They feel helpless, which is why Moms for Liberty is there. But you mentioned tools. What are some of the tools that you guys bring to bear to help parents engage?
So the way we are organized is we have chapters in every county. What we're trying, this is our goal, to have chapters in every county, because it's at that level of government that has been taken all the decision for right. our education. So we need whistleblowers. We need parents that tell us your story, your experience, what is going on in your house, and to give us material that you think is inappropriate, and to give us all these tools, and we're going to put it in a legal manner and create bills, because we are going to we passed the parental right bill with Governor Ron DeSantis.
Right.
And we're trying.
We've got one that's going through the North Carolina legislature right now.
Exactly. And it's thanks for the parents, actually.
That's right.
We, the parents, are designing our education. This is the beautiful thing, and it should be like this. The parents taking the decision of our own kids. This is not the kids of this government.
That's right.
This is my kids. My kids, my choice. We do not co-parent with the government. So we are the ones who take all the decisions about the education, about the health mandates. I mean, about health, not mandates.
Right.
I don't want nobody mandates me
yeah.
about the health
Amen.
Of my
That's
children
right.
that
yep.
I give birth to them
yeah.
and I raise. So then we held accountable people at all levels of government. That is how we work.
That's
we need
right.
the help of all the parents. We need to get them involved in our organization.
Well, you have to have a unified voice, because if it's just mom
look
or dad here
online,
and there, it's not
enough. MomsForLiberty.org. We have a map. And if you don't see in your county a chapter, get with some other friends, with some other concerned parents, and create a chapter.
Right.
As I tell you, we need whistleblowers. It's a help. Not only you're not going to do a difference only for you, but for other parents. Probably they are busy. They ignore. It's,
right.
it's difficult to ignore the situation, right?
Yeah.
But probably
Especially
they're very busy. So tell your grandparents. Probably your grandparents, those are they already retired, but they have grandkids.
Right. Yeah, you have to engage. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble. Great to be with you. Maybe sort of, kind of today. I actually recorded this earlier today and playing for you two of the interviews I did while at the Faith and Freedom Coalition Convention Road to Majority 2022. That was in Nashville. I flew over there Thursday and got back late Saturday night, early into Sunday morning, then had a wonderful Father's Day yesterday and my second official Grandfather's Day, so that was awesome. I hope all you dads out there had a wonderful Father's Day. It's such a blessing and an immense responsibility, and can be obviously very intimidating, but let's all make sure we just continue to pray for ourselves as fathers and pray for each other and rely on the Lord, because he will be trustworthy to fill in the gaps where I know I fall short, and probably most of you do as well. But great to be back, and was playing earlier in the show today my interview with Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life. And I don't have a lot of Catholic guests on the show that often. It's not by design. I just don't run in those circles. But I've known Father Frank since 2005. By the way, he's an incredible preacher. You get the guy behind a pulpit, and he's just amazing, powerful, just expositor of God's word, especially when it comes to the issue of life. So talk to him. He's the national director of Priests for Life. So make sure you check them out. They've been doing great work since I think he went to the third March for Life way back in the 70s. So just an incredible guy.
and so inspiring and just a great friend to the life movement. And, of course, that's getting more interesting by the day as we're awaiting the decision from the Supreme Court, hopefully overturning Roe versus Wade. And then had a chance to converse with Mrs. Catalina Stube, the director of outreach for Moms for Liberty. That's momsforliberty.org. They got started out of Tampa just a few years ago, but man, have they taken off. They've got an event coming up in July where they have Governor Ron DeSantis and his wife. They have Betsy DeVos, former Secretary of Education. They've got Ben Carson. Obviously, we all know who Ben Carson is, and a bunch of other speakers. I think they have Senator Tim Scott, who used to be the governor of Florida. So an incredible lineup for a fairly new organization. But given what's going on around the country in the school boards and in our educational system, there's such a huge need for that. So we're talking to Catalina Stube as we finish up this interview next. Again, she's the director of outreach for Moms for Liberty. How did she get involved? And then what can all of us do to be a part of it? Because we should all be on the wall here when it comes to this public education and what's going on there. It's such a nightmare. There's so much dangerous indoctrination going on, but it has been going on for a while. I just emailed Pete Hegseth from Fox News, had a book just came out. I just got it last week. I'm reading it, called Battle for the American Mind. It looks at 100 years of educational history here and how the progressives absolutely took it over and have been indoctrinating children ever since. It's nefarious. It's as nefarious as it sounds. So shot an email to his publicist. So hopefully we'll get Pete Hegseth on the show here probably in July. But again, finishing up my conversation with Catalina Stube, director of outreach, momsforliberty.org. And then I'll be back with a few closing thoughts after that. I'm talking to Catalina Stube from Moms for Liberty, momsforliberty.org. How did you get involved?
Well, I have four kids myself.
How old are they?
16. So from 6 to 16.
Okay. You're busy. We have four kids, but they're a little older.
I buy already the TV. Just kidding. They are amazing, but they are not perfect, but it's never a dull moment in my house.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a beautiful mess.
Yeah.
And God bless me with that huge responsibility. And I start identify some of the indoctrinations already that were planted in my kids or the friends of my kids. And then I start investigating, making reports, and trying to change this. And I found this organization, Moms for Liberty, that inspire me every day. These moms are stronger because you need to use to get courage. It
right.
takes courage.
Yep.
Because normally you used to be very silent, in a corner, never speak out, never get involved. But what you don't change this attitude? And do it not only for you, but for all of us. Because
right.
when you want to get a country in a communist, you take two things, media and education. They are want to destroy our family, the base of this society.
That's right.
And they want our kids. This is a big, huge movement against our family, faith. And they take our freedom. They want to control us. So we have to get unified. Parents, please get up and sign up for our organization. Become a member. Come to our summit. We're going to have a summit
awesome.
In Tampa, July 14 to 17. We are going to have an amazing lineup of speakers. Governor Ron DeSantis, Casey
That's
DeSantis,
awesome. Yeah.
Dr. Ben Carson, Betsy
wow.
DeVos. And much more, and we're going to give you all the legal tools that you have your rights to defend your children and your family.
Yeah, and that's the empowerment aspect, and you use the word encouragement. Encouragement is to lend courage.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the biggest challenges is you assume as just one person, I can't make a difference, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not a politician, blah, 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 blah. That's exactly who I was in 2004, and then obviously things have changed. But you get around other people. And that's where I started to really wake up as an activist. I met other people that just started as quote-unquote normal people, not doing anything, concerned, and wanted to help, wanted to get engaged, knew they should, but they just didn't know what to do. That's why something like Moms for Liberty is so important, so you can get not only encouragement, but the tools
Because there's other people in the same boat. And once we discover each other, now we can work together. The Bible says two have a better return for their work.
Amen.
Right? And a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So once we get together and do this stuff, that's an incredible lineup that you guys have in July. But that's why you got to be a part of it. MomsForLiberty.org.
Moms, you don't want to raise a communist. You don't want to have a transgender in your house. This is drama queen. I mean, this is a huge problem. And the only thing you want to raise is a strong kids,
right?
Confident kids, excel in academics, entrepreneurs, positive people and virtuous people to going to serve in our community. Probably our next legislators, but it's also our next voters.
That's right.
Our next educators. So we need you, Mom, to get involved and renew your faith.
That's right.
Ask God wisdom and get your family around the Bible. Ask for wisdom.
Well, they're being raised in a cesspool of lies.
Yes.
And we have to teach them the truth.
Yes.
And again, and I want to mention this as well. I talk about this regularly on the air. I don't care if you have kids in the school system or not. I don't care if you have kids. If you call yourself a Christian, your call is to love your neighbor as yourself. So we have literally millions of children who are being led completely into a satanic lie. And to sit on the side, it's kind of like the life issue. To sit on the sidelines is do nothing if you're going to call yourself a Christian. It's simply inexcusable.
Yeah.
So whether if you have kids in the system like you did and do, then number one, absolutely you got to get involved.
Yes.
But whether you have kids there or they're older like mine, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
There's other people's kids there. And I have to be as concerned for them as I am for my own children. And so you got to get engaged.
Yes, exactly. That's correct.
So momsforliberty.org. And then again, you've got the event in Tampa.
Yes.
And Ron DeSantis.
Casey DeSantis.
Our
that's beautiful
his wife.
First lady.
And then Betsy DeVos. Dr. Carson.
Yes.
That's an incredible lineup.
And much more.
Wow.
Much more. We are going to have Rick Scott, our Senator Rick Scott.
Yeah, awesome.
That he is passing 13 points to defend America. To defend
America. We talked about that yesterday here.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
It's amazing because we need to raise patriots and people who are proud of this country.
That's right.
We live in an amazing country. We need to be proud of that.
Amen. Catalina, thanks so much for coming over. Thanks for introducing yourself yesterday. We'll do this again. I'll definitely have you guys back on.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
So there you go. That was Catalina Stube, the Director of Outreach for MomsForLiberty.org. And she was just finishing up there talking about raising patriots. And when I hear that, phrase patriot, and I agreed with her, obviously. I also filter that through a biblical worldview. And so I want people to be young people, which is why I teach and have been for 10 years. And I want them to be patriots, but patriots with honesty and level-headedness and a humble appreciation for our nation. I do believe it is America's the greatest nation that's ever existed on the face of the earth. But we are not a nation without a deeply troubling history in many ways. Incredibly high spots and incredibly low spots, not terribly dissimilar from our own lives. I know it's certainly true of me. There's great things about me in my life, and there's some really terrible things about me in my life. And especially when measured against scripture, against God's truth and God's word. So patriots, absolutely, but also humble and honest and not ignorant of the lows, as well as being exuberant about the highs. So that was just a great couple of interviews with people that are out there trying to make a difference. That's the challenge for all of us. What are you doing in this troubling season that we're in? Certainly nothing less than prayer. We all need to be in prayer for our nation and for specific things that you have a burden on your heart for. But then involvement, and especially now as we're pushing into the November season, the political season heating up, especially for homeschool. I mean, not homeschool, but school board races, things of that nature. We all need to be engaged. Prayer first, but also where can you plug in? Where can you serve? Where can you help? Some of the messages that we'll be sharing in the days to come. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. My dad always used to say, "Prepare forward."